Jeremiah 23:16-32. And the heading here says, Fire and a Hammer. A wonderful treasure, God's Word, the Bible. Fire and a hammer. And I guess that's going to come up somewhere here in this reading, right? Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and he was given a difficult job that he didn't feel up to. He wasn't sure he wanted to do it, but, you know, he did. He obeyed God. He yielded himself to God. God called him, and God promised him that he would be with him and that he would help him to speak his word. That's what a prophet is. First and foremost, a prophet is one who speaks the word of God. That's the primary definition when we come to prophet or prophecy in the Bible. It does not always have to do with telling the future. Sometimes it does. And these prophets were given words from God that said, this is going to happen, or that is going to happen. And God would give them words of promise, encouragement, and hope often, and words of judgment. And if you do not obey God, this is what will happen. And Jeremiah was one that had the word of the Lord in his mouth. And when God told him to speak, he spoke, regardless of the consequences, I mean the personal consequences for him. He was a man that was hated and persecuted for doing God's will and speaking God's word. And yet he was a faithful servant of the Lord. And here in this 23rd chapter, he prophesies, he speaks the word of God, and this 23rd chapter points forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous branch is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lord our righteousness. But I think we're picking it up at verse 16. And maybe here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read verses 16 to 32 and ask you to follow along. The version that I have here, maybe you don't all have, so it'd be hard for us to read together. You have different versions of Scripture, different translations. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, verses 16 to 32 of Jeremiah 23. But please follow along, and then I would like to invite you to share from this passage if there's anything that stands out to you. We won't take too long with that. This afternoon we have another meeting, and it's a very important meeting. It takes place at 4:15. Let's try to be prompt. 4:15, and let's be here for the Lord. Let's lead out in prayer. It's our staff prayer meeting to which guests are invited, and we only have a few minutes. We have about a half hour together, so we don't have a lot of time to wait for each other. We want to get right at it and be leading out in prayer, the thing that God stirs our hearts with. We want to pray, and we'll all pray with you, but that's at 4:15. So on a beautiful day like this, I don't want to keep you here too long this morning. Just want to get the lesson from this passage of Scripture, okay? And if I am careful to give you a nice morning outside, I hope you'll be careful to come back here by 4:15, okay? And we'll meet for a little time of prayer. I think it's so wonderful that we do this, even on a beautiful day. You know what it says? Without your saying it, well, I'm going to say it anyway. It says, Lord, here we are. We can't do this job without you. We need you. You know, we kneel before him, and that's what we're saying. Just by coming into this place together, saying, Lord, this is a way that you have given us. This, you ordained this way of prayer. Here we are at your feet. We need you. The kids that are here need you, Lord. We call upon you. And it's just something, I believe it pleases him. I believe that when we come in faith, he will hear our cry and respond. And so let's pay attention to that Thursday afternoon prayer meeting. But here, let's get this lesson before we go out into the day. Ready? 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets, who prophesy lies, and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from one another. Behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, declares the Lord, and who tell them and lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness, when I did not send them or charge them, so they do not profit this people at all, declares the Lord. That's a powerful word from God against the false prophets. And while you think about what you're going to say, not too long ago, a group of us from our church went to, I think it was Carnegie Hall, to hear Mendelssohn's Elijah. I think when we got everybody together, there were 50 of us. It was quite a group. And it's such a powerful, powerful piece of music. And whoever wrote the, what do you call that thing, the text, the libretto, right? I think that's what it's called. He took words from other parts of the Bible, not just from Elijah's experience, the little passage there in 1 Kings that is about Elijah. And one of them was right here. After the showdown with the prophets of Baal, when the fire falls from heaven And then it's take all the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And he takes them down to the brook and they're all slain. And God is glorified. Right at that point, there's this song, "Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh the rock?" It's such a great piece, but you know, it fits there, even though it's Jeremiah's. It fits with Elijah too. There was a burning, wasn't there, when the fire fell from heaven. God, our God, or the God of Elijah, is the true God. And then there was a breaking too, a burning and a breaking there. "Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaketh the rock?" And I think one of the parallels is that Elijah had to deal with all these false prophets, just like the ones of Jeremiah's day. They were prophets of Baal, and prophets that were involved with all the idol worship that was such an abomination to God. And Elijah had to deal with that as well. So here, too, God's word. There's a difference. There's a difference. This is word like a fire that burns, that melts, that changes. And then like a hammer that breaks the rock. There's a man in our church. He's very faithful to prayer meeting. And Monday night prayer meeting will almost at least always find him there. And he's there early. And over years you hear things. He prays every week, as some others do too. You hear things and you can tell what the burden of the heart is, what stirs a person. Maybe he doesn't say the same prayer every week, but you know, over time you hear different things come out. And one of this man's prayers that I've heard repeatedly over the many years is, "Oh God, break these hard rock hearts of ours." He prays that every once in a while. When I get to prayer meeting, he's always there already. I don't know when he got there. And he's always poring over his Bible. Always. He's at the front. He's got his Bible open. And he prays sometime during that meeting. Not every time, I say, but I hear it. From time to time, "Oh Lord, break these hard rock hearts of ours." And I think, wow, if he needs to pray that, I guess it's a good prayer for me too. Lord, keep my heart tender. Where there is hardness, break it up. Lord, burn it, burn out the dross. We read about the straw and the wheat, the chaff. Burn it out, Lord. Blow that stuff away. Bring out the real. Don't let me be false as I stand before you. Also help me to stand in your counsels. That was C-I-L. You couldn't see what I was reading, not S-E-L. Did they stand in my counsels? Did they know? Or are they just dreaming up this stuff? And remember how it was. They spoke good things, the things that people wanted to hear. Oh, it won't be so bad. And Jeremiah had to tell them the truth. Enough. Your turn. Come.
He goes along actually with what Brother John spoke to us about last night about truth. And this is an excellent narrative. It could be perfect even for today, how culturally we're being lied to. You know, certainly we live in a world today that says everything is okay and you will be fine. You know, live the way you want, do what you think, and it will be okay. If this makes you happy, go for it. And it is a lie of the enemy.
Yes.
So, I think it's very difficult to be a prophet with being a prophet. It's a tremendous responsibility. we have to be careful not to let our mind and our desires taint the message that the Lord has given us. So to be a prophet, I think it's one of the most gifts that God could give, to the biggest gift to people.
The Apostle Paul said that we should desire the spiritual gifts, and then he put this one right up there, rather that you may prophesy.
I like the end of verse 16. It says, they speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. And they're talking about false prophets here, and that kind of it's kind of upsetting, because sometimes I speak what I want to hear, and I twist what God says to my own understanding, or not to my understanding, to what I want to do. And over time, this becomes okay, that becomes okay. But I think a lot of the time I have to go back to the beginnings and do it exactly what God wants.
That last verse here where it says, they do not benefit these people in the least, declares the Lord. And that word benefit, I had to think of that. You know, the world looks always for something that benefits them. But nothing can be compared to the things that God has in store for us, the benefits. The psalmist, the 103rd psalm, where it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Lord has so much for us if we just would reach out and take it and understand his love and what he desires to give us. Here, these false prophets, they make promises, but they never satisfy. They never get fulfilled. But here, what Jesus does for us is so wonderful. We can't even describe or explain the wonders of his benefits towards us, that joy and the peace, the fruit of the Spirit, all these things that the Lord wants to give us if we are ready to take it. And I'm thankful today for these benefits that the Lord gives. We're not looking to the world for benefits, but we're looking to him. He's the only one that satisfies.
But if they had stood by my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. What more? What is that saying?
How
firm a foundation? What more?
Can he say
than to you he has said? And it brings us back to what we've been hearing and celebrating in our anniversary of our Bible. How fundamentally important and sound and firm and secure is the Word of God. And there's no substitute for it. Be careful of substitutes. Even if it's in music or anything, we need the truth of the Bible. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I'm so glad for the Bible. I remember how it led me to salvation. It showed me truth. It pointed sin in my life. And it's doing that today. It's pointing us today to Jesus. All the truths of the Bible are but pathways to the feet of Jesus. And it does not change. We can rely upon it. We can depend upon it. And when we found, as we heard, our lives upon obedience to the Word of God, our lives will stand. Thank God. How firm a foundation. All they needed to do was give to them what they would receive from the Lord. But no, We are a people that like to please others, tell them what they want to hear. It's hard to tell people what they don't want to hear. They don't like us for that. But we got to remember we're standing before God. And our reward is in heaven. We may not see it here on earth. But Jeremiah, who had this awful ministry, as it awful from the standpoint that it was hard, what kind of a crown of glories does he have in heaven? What a reward he must have for having been true to the Lord in such difficult circumstances. And I think we too need to counter course and say, God, I help us to simply take your word at face value, for what it is, and stand upon it. Not try to alter, not try to put our own thoughts, but let God give us those thoughts, formulated from the Word of God, from our understanding of the Word of God. And the understanding flows more and more greatly as we allow the Word of God more and more to fill our hearts.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
I like it that in the beginning of this whole little passage is talking about how prophets are trying to trick you into doing this, or they have certain visions that aren't from God. But I like the reassurance in verse 29 that it says, "Is my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces?" It's just a reassuring of God's strength to me and his protection over me that I could take if I just go into his word.
I think it's interesting how in verse 17 it says, "They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord says you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you." And it's just amazing how that translates to today with, you know, relativism and the whole idea of, like, you can do what you want, follow your own path to happiness, and everything will be good. It's just, you know, that's pretty much applies exactly to today's world.
Verse 24, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" I just feel like God's so powerful and he's so mighty that why do we even try? Because we can't even do it. Like, trying to twist the truth, or we can't. We're so little that why are we even trying when God is so great?
I don't know. Who do I report this to? How good this has been. Your contributions and your participation. I know the Lord sees it. And I don't mean that those who haven't spoken up haven't done well also. I sound like a false prophet. No, it's not. It's not a laughing matter, is it? But you know what I mean. They just said that everything will be okay, and certainly it's not. Things aren't right with God. So these are searching words for us, as you've been saying, very relevant to us. And God teaches us the way to profit or benefit. It comes from his word. Just a memory that came back to me. My life has a lot of memories. As they say, when you get older, that happens to you. Remember, well, you have more things to remember, so until you start forgetting. But maybe it's because in a few days I have to go to North Carolina and tie the knot when my oldest is getting married. And I remember when I got married, my father also performed that ceremony. And when we came up the aisle, when Susan and her father came up the aisle, and then we just closed in and stood before him, his heart was full. he did really well, as I remember it looking back. I just hope I can, hold myself together like like he did. But anyway, he said, this is the prayer, this is the prophecy or the prayer that comes to me, the words that come to me this morning. He said, this was before we went into anything. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I think that's the thing that has come back to me most often from the wedding ceremony. I've thought of it in connection with my own children. It's a prophecy from the prophet Joel, and it has to do with the Pentecostal blessing, fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when you spoke, I thought that about this group here. I'm sure that's what God wants. People that so live in His Word and live by His Word that He can make that Word such a part of them and a part of their lives that they can speak it forth in authority and under His anointing. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, it's very hopeful this morning to hear from you. And I trust that all of us will reach out for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. God will come to us in the way that He desires to, as we seek His face and look into His Word and get to know Him and claim His promises.